Welcome to Puentes a la Comunidad, Bridges to the Community. Hello, I'm your host, Emily Guerra. My guest on this edition is local author Mary Armstrong to talk to us about her first book, The Mesilla, The Two Valleys Saga, Book One, a historical fiction. Thank you for joining me on Puentes.
You're welcome. I love to be here. Thank you.
You're welcome. This is a fictional memoir about the 10 years leading to the notorious and unsolved fountain murders in Mesilla. Mm-hmm. What was your passion to write about this era in southern New Mexico history since you are not from here?
Well, that's a good question because I've always been a history buff. And when I moved here in January of 2010 from Iowa, one of the first things that I did was pick up a book that was, I believe it was by Owen, I believe it was. It's a book about the history of Las Cruces, Crossroads of the Southwest, I think is the subtitle. But anyway, I picked that up and I read through it, and that really sparked my interest in the fountain murders, and then really in general about a very rich history that the area has. And so I started reading more. I read books, just about everything I could find about it, including Gibson, Recco, Metz, Sonicson, you know, all the books that you normally will hear about. But I just got very interested, and I was writing for some time a weekly column about golf in the Sun News. And then in 2017, I wrote a play entitled It Is Blood. And the title is actually taken from a headline in the Rio Grande Republican in February of 1896. And the play was selected and performed by the Las Cruces Community Theater during their one-act play festival. So there's been a lot written about the murders, and I wanted to write a little more about digging into why they happen and not so much trying to solve the murders or anything like that. So that's what I've tried to do with this book, and then, of course, the following books, which I expect will be somewhere between 4 and 5 total in the series.
How will your books benefit you and others around you?
My books are historical fiction, and so it is an escape to the past. But it's also, you know, an implicit comparison to the present. I mean, as you're reading about the past, it's hard not to put that in context with what you're experiencing, I think, as a, you know, in current times, and of course all that's happened in between. So I think my writing benefits me by knowing that it provides entertainment, some inward examination for my readers, and a little bit of knowledge that hopefully sparks their interest in further research. I have one fan who has told me, you know, a lot of times she's talked about this, that it just sparked her interest so much in researching more about the history of the Las Cruces area. And I think that's really wonderful. I mean, I couldn't ask for anything more than that. I think that history in historical fiction really does reach a lot of people who may not really want to do historical research. But it does light their curiosity, and I think that's a wonderful thing.
Tell me a little bit about your book.
Well, as you said, it's a fictional memoir, also a historical fiction book. And the main character is fictional, of course, if he's writing a memoir. And it really places him as a nephew to the well-known citizen, lawyer, et cetera, of Las Cruces, Colonel Albert J. Fountain. In the book, the protagonist, if you will, and the memoir writer is Jesus, and he is a son of Mariana Fountain's sister, which is fictional, but regardless, anyway, he comes to live with the Fountains at the age of 14 because he's too small and frail to work his parents' farm in Mexico. While he is growing up there, the local padre finds that he's especially smart, though, and he tells the family that he could learn anything with the right tutoring. And so he tutors him in English and basic other studies. And they negotiate or come up with a deal where the family sends Jesus, is his name, to live with the Fountains. And he studies law with the colonel. So during the process, Jesus is, of course, at the age of 14, becoming a young man. It's a kind of a coming-of-age story about him. But it's also about him observing all the things that's going on in the Fountain family and within the Mesilla Valley and the Tularosa Valley at the time, and how things develop toward the fateful day when the colonel and his young son Henry are murdered 10 years later.
The events that happened during that time divided many people in Tularosa and the Mesilla Valley. What else astonished you or surprised you about that era?
Oh, wow. Well, one of the things is that the book is really a lot about Bronco Sue Dawson. If you're familiar at all with her story, she actually had several last names because she was married, legally married, and lived with a number of men. But she was known in the area as being a harlot, a gold digger, everything negative you can think of about a woman. And the colonel defended her for murdering her husband in Socorro. And this book covers his getting to know Bronco Sue and the courtroom drama in Silver City. And the thing that I did was I took a little bit of license with it, historical fiction, and because her story has been told many times, and almost every time different from the other times. And that's the case, I think, a lot of times with Wild West history. A lot of it is lore. A lot of it is hearsay. So my curiosity about Bronco Sue was, well, what would she have said about her history? And so I decided that I wanted to give her a voice. And so her story is accurate as far as the places she went, the people she was involved with, the things that happened. But there's a lot more of a backstory to it, which I think makes her out as being maybe not quite such a harlot. So that's one of the things that I was surprised about, was her story. Another thing was the Shalom Colony. Of course, we still have the Shalom Colony Road here in town. There's nothing out there left of the old colony. But it was thriving during the period of this book, and some of the characters that are in the book, let's just say they become involved with that. And the person that was running the Shalom Colony and his beliefs and how he managed the colony and so forth was very interesting to me, and it has a little over a chapter, I would say, of the book. One of the things that I really hope to achieve with this series is to get away from the whodunit story and that sort of thing. I really wanted to look more at what was the background, you know, how did we get to February 1st, 1896? And by doing that, I really hoped that we could soften the division between the two valleys. I hope that would happen. I don't know that it will. I think, you know, it's very deep-seated. And it really is just kind of just below the surface, kind of rumbling here and there. If you talk to the right people, you know, they have very strong feelings about what happened at that date on both sides, in the Tularosa and in the Mesilla Valley.
So there's still a division between those two communities today.
Oh, yes, I think so. And if you know the history at all, you know that later, when Pat Garrett came in to try and solve the case, the governor created Otero County out of Doña Ana County, and the county line is actually just to the west of where the Fountain murder site was. so that Garrett could no longer investigate the site.
What brought you to Las Cruces?
I was born in Iowa. I was born and raised there. I lived much of my childhood on a small farm. And I went to Iowa State University, graduated from there in 74 with a degree in landscape architecture. And I went on to work in various areas that are a part of the landscape architecture profession, including planning and designing recreation areas, national wildlife refuges, and national environmental centers. And then I did some other work in civil engineering and different planning and designing areas. And then in 1990, I was able to start my golf course design business, which really is pretty much I'm retired from at this point. There isn't much work there for me anymore, but I did quite well with that. So I did a lot of writing in that during that period, more technically oriented, but thousands and thousands of pages. And as you might imagine, you know, compared to an environmental impact statement, a novel really isn't all that difficult to take on.
Well, this is your first book published, and you self-published. Why did you do that?
I did that because, you know, I really wanted to do traditional publishing because there is some kind of credibility built in with that. But as I was finishing the book and I was getting final editing done and stuff, I realized that it was going to take probably a couple of years at least to get this published. And one of the things that happened, this was written pretty much during the COVID-19 era, and one of the things that happened during my writing was that my mother is very interested. She's always been interested in what she calls pioneer books. She'd known that I was interested in this issue with the fountain murders, and I told her that I had been thinking about writing something. And so I did write a few chapters. And one day I was talking to her on the phone. I talk with her every day at 4:15 p.m. And we talked for maybe, half an hour, 45 minutes. And one day I told her about this, and she said, well, I really would like to hear it. And so I read her these couple of chapters that I had written. And at the time, I was kind of lukewarm. I wasn't sure about it. And she really loved it. And of course, I still went on to do editing and stuff with it. But then every day as I was writing, she wanted to hear what I had written. And so every day I read what I had wrote. And it just really got to be very much of a encouragement to me to continue. And so it was like, it took me a year, and I ended up with like about 800 pages, and I pretty much was told that a first book in a series should not be that long, as people would probably not take a chance on it. And so I cut it to about two-thirds of that. It's about 400 pages now, actually. And I published that, so now I have the remainder ready to move forward to getting the second book out, which I hope will be out this fall.
Where can they find the book?
Okay, well, they can find the book at Coas downtown. They can also find the book at the Barnes & Nobles at the Mesilla Valley Mall and at Boland's Mesilla Book Center over in the square in Mesilla. And it's also at the Moonbow Alterations and Book Nook. And you can also get it on Amazon, of course.
Well, I really appreciate you taking the time to tell us about your fascinating new book. Again, Mary Armstrong, our local author, with her first book, The Mesilla, The Two Valleys Saga, Book One. Thank you for joining me.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
For KRWG Public Media, I'm Emily Guerra.